name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, here we are, Trinity 24. The long season we've talked about before of giving witness to Christ's deeds on the earth. In the first part of the liturgical year, we talk about his Annunciation, his Nativity, his saving work on the cross, all the miracles in between, his resurrection, his ascension, coming of the Holy Ghost, and then this long season of which this story of the young damsel being healed, Christ's mercy, acts of mercy, miracles, many of which aren't even reported. I'm sure we didn't get all of them. But then suffice to say, he healed many people of different diseases, and sometimes I guess it was a little exasperating for him, because every now and then he'd say, I'll do this, but is this why you won't believe unless I do these miracles? So we have to look at the daughter here, and Jairus, and they realize, well, I'll read it. My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. This is one where Jesus saw that they had faith, and that they stated that, and whatever he would do, he knew she would live. And then, in the next sentence, and behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she had said within herself, she didn't say it openly, said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. So again, this woman, there's another woman that realized the same thing but kept it within herself, but acted on faith. And that's what we're told to, you know, when we have a problem, it doesn't seem to go away. So, you know, I've read stories, we hear it all the time. Well, people give up on God because he didn't answer my prayer. He isn't able to answer my prayer, he just doesn't want to. But we are in a whole different economy. The prophet, I believe it was Jeremiah, said, his ways are above our ways, and we cannot attain to all his ways. But we can, again, we can act on faith, stating that whatever he does, when he does it, and how he does it, or if he does it, it'll be for the good, for the ultimate good that we can't begin to understand. So I think as we close out the season of Trinitytide, we realize that these acts of mercy, healing, miracles, sometimes were done to people that didn't have faith until they saw it. And then we see, on the other hand, people that received them knowing ahead of time that God, that Jesus was God and he would do it. And did it, realized it as he did these miracles. This past week was Veterans Day, and also I don't know if it's a coincidence, but the Feast of St. Martin of Tours is on the same day as Veterans Day. And of course, Martin of Tours was quite a warrior. And the story goes that he was wanted to become a Christian. And you know how much of this is true or tradition, I don't know. But it's stated in several places that he had to lay down his sword in order to embrace Christianity. For some reason, he wasn't allowed to embrace Christianity as a soldier. We do know that when he saw somebody that was naked, he stripped half his cloak and gave it to the person so he could clothe himself. He did all these wonderful things. And this is what the military does for us. And I thank anybody here that's a veteran for their service with a deep and grateful heart. But he acted as a veteran, giving part of himself to save somebody else. This is what our Lord did, and these what veterans do. They write a blank check to the people of the United States of America, and whatever it brings forth, they're willing to give some or have to give all. There's a writing here about Sulpicius Severus. Nice Irish name. Martin, Bishop of Tours. Martin was poor and humble. And he writes, Martin knew beforehand the day in which he would die, and he warned the brethren that his dissolution was approaching fast. Then there arose a need for him to go to the Diocese of Candies, where dissensions had broken out among the clergy. His desire to restore peace would not permit him to find an excuse in the death he knew he was so near to. And he made his way to Candies. It seemed to him that it would be a fitting consummation of all his labors if he could leave the church a legacy of peace. Again, veterans' work for peace. After a brief sojourn in that village, or church rather, he succeeded in his mission and now meant to return to his monastery, but his bodily powers failed suddenly. He called the brethren to his deathbed and told them he was dying. Great sorrow gripped his hearers, and there was only one cry in the midst of all their tears. Father, why are you deserting us? To whose care are you leaving us in our grief? The wolves in their savagery will fall on our flock, on your flock. When you, our shepherd, are dead, who will save us from their teeth? Oh, we know you are weary for Christ, but that reward of yours is sure and will not grow less for the waiting. Oh, pity us whom you are leaving desolate. Martin was deeply moved by their tears, which stirred the lifelong sympathy in him that flowed from the heart of God's mercy. He too wept, we are told, then turned to God, and his answer to their pleading, he made this prayer. Lord, if I am still needed by your people, I will not refuse the work. Your will be done. The wonder of the man, neither toil nor death could defeat him. Indifferent alike to life or death, he would not refuse the one or fear the other. He lay with all his being intent on heaven, holding his unconquered soul fast to its prayer. The priests around his bed wished to turn him over on his side to ease his poor body, but he stopped them. Brothers, let me go on looking at heaven, not at the earth. My soul will be pointing to God when its moment of departure comes. He saw the devil standing near and cried out, Blood-stained beast, what are you doing here? You will find nothing of yours in me, you living death. I go to the arms of Abraham. These were his last words. Then he surrendered his soul to God. Martin is received in everlasting happiness to the embrace of Abraham. Martin, who was poor and humble, goes into heaven a wealthy man. That's the message regardless of what we have on this earth. We hear this over and over again, I know, but I think we need to be reminded that what we leave here on earth means nothing. It's what we are attaining to. All earthly pleasures of that hymn we just sung speak to that. And when death's dread takes us, we'll be heaven bound. And we will do it by the grace of God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.